Held in Dallas, Texas, Expo 72 attempted to make Christianity relevant to a generation that had grown up with rock music, student protest, ecological concerns, spiritual quests, and alternative states of consciousness. The week's culminating event was a massive outdoor concert for more than 150,000 on an abandoned racetrack just outside the city. Billy Graham, a co-sponsor of the week and the keynote speaker at the nine-hour show, referred to it as a religious Woodstock, which was exactly how Campus Crusade wanted it to be perceived. They wanted the opportunity to prove that non-Christians didn't have the monopoly on love, peace, and music. Cash was by far the best-known performer on a bill made up of Jesus rock artists whose records sold through churches and Christian bookstores and who were predominantly unknown to readers of Rolling Stone or Cream. He in turn invited Kris Kristofferson and Rita Coolidge, thinking that it would be good for them to see the Christian crowd and for the Christian crowd to hear songs like Why Me and Burden of Freedom. Dressed in black and overwhelmed by a stage set full of brightly colored Peter Mac-style clouds, rainbows, and flowers, Cash sang, "I've seen men like trees walking, a thing called love, and supper time." Between songs, he told the crowd, "I have tried drugs and a little of everything else, and there is nothing more soul-satisfying than having the kingdom of God building inside you and growing." Kristofferson, who still couldn't make sense of his experience at Evangel Temple, felt decidedly uncomfortable performing his slim gospel repertoire in front of thousands of fresh-faced young people, knowing that his appearance would be interpreted as a public declaration of faith. "I was singing songs that I thought were spiritual, but people wanted to hear more songs specifically about Jesus," he says. "Eventually, I had to tell John that I couldn't do these type of shows anymore. I felt like a hypocrite." Cash, however, continued to play at similar events. He went to London with Carl Perkins and the Tennessee Three to perform at Wembley Stadium for the closing concert of Spree 73, a British version of Expo 72. He performed songs from Gospel Road, "The Best Album I've Ever Made," and he told the 30,000-strong crowd that in the past he had given his flesh to the devil and left only the bones to God. Billy Graham warned people that he feared Russia was about to attack China and that this would launch Armageddon. "I see no glimmer of hope in the scientific world," he said. "There is no place to hide. The whole world is a problem. Jesus Christ is the answer. There is no other." Jimmy Snow started a gospel music version of the Grand Ole Opry. It took place on a Friday night at the Ryman Auditorium after the regular Opry show and was called the Grand Ole Gospel Hour. There, Kristofferson premiered Why Me, and Larry Gatlin first performed Help Me outside of a church. Cash played there and at the All Lutheran Youth Gathering in Houston. He played at the Youth for Christ Super Rally in Kansas City and at the Johnny Cash Country and Gospel Festival at Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. He showed no reservations about being associated with mainstream American evangelicalism and was unconcerned that it might damage his career. Besides appearing with Billy Graham, Cash performed for other evangelists like Oral Roberts, Tommy Barnett, and James Robison. A preacher's theological stripe didn't bother him at the time, as long as somewhere in their message they preached the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. He didn't appear to mind whether that gospel came wrapped in a prayer cloth, a charm, or a warning about the imminent end of the world. Cash would either brush aside the criticisms of those who thought that some high-profile evangelists were manipulative, insincere, dishonest, and greedy, or even suggest that their suspicions were demonically inspired. In a song titled Billy and Rex and Oral and Bob, he celebrated the ministries not only of Billy Graham, Rex Humbard, Oral Roberts, and Bob Harrington, but the late Billy Sunday, James Robison, Catherine Kuhlman, Garner Ted Armstrong, Tommy Barnett, Jimmy Snow, and Reverend Ike. Ordained for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, the great super preachers go crusading on, and the people all gather in great congregations to hear of a Savior who came to atone. And they kneel at the altar and walk away happy. Then the devil starts gossip about money and sex, and making it hard on the good men of God, like Billy and Bob and Oral and Rex. Cash's lack of discrimination later affected him when some of the individuals he supported were found guilty of the very sins their enemies had accused them of. Through his relatively newly opened eyes, all evangelists and all teachings bearing the Christian name had seemed equally valid, He had an almost childlike trust in preachers. "I really don't know too much about doctrine," he once confessed. "I just simply believe in God and Jesus." In The Man in Black, he asked himself why televangelists were criticized and abused by so many and concluded that it was because they had been to the top of the mountain. They had seen heaven a little clearer than I had. Maybe things had been revealed to them that don't get passed around freely to the rest of us. The wind of the Spirit had blown through their minds. During a 7-night run in Las Vegas during 1972, a report surfaced that Cash was using his commercial concerts to evangelize. A religious news service quoted an Episcopal clergyman as saying that 1,500 people had responded to altar calls at the Hilton shows and that Cash had received a wave of the Holy Spirit during these times. Cash was forced to issue a disclaimer in which he said that he had undergone no spiritual experience and that there had been no altar calls, though he often closed the evenings with a gospel song during which members of the audience tended to rush to the stage. His statement only made matters worse. Once published, he realized that it could have been interpreted as a denial of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. He wrote to his local newspaper, The Tennessean, in order to correct this impression. The headline stating "Johnny Cash denies baptism" is pretty strong language. You asked me if I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on stage in Las Vegas and if I gave an altar call. The answer was no, but I didn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't alive in me and guiding me. Months before that, in Jimmy Snow's church, I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that was the most beautiful feeling in my life, to feel that the Spirit of God had come to live in me. Several months following that, I felt a strong indwelling of the Holy Spirit, like the time last November when I was baptized in the Jordan River. For a Christian to say that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in him is to deny he is a child of God, and I do not deny that I am a child of God. I am very eager to tell it. I feel the Holy Spirit dwells in me at all times. Sometimes it's like a grain of mustard seed, but it's there, and at times, like when we sing those gospel songs, I think it does shine through me. That's what happened at Las Vegas and at most of our concerts recently. The people feel that special something, and they come down to the front to shake my hand. That's what happened in Las Vegas. Cash's marriage, the birth of John Carter Cash, the success of the TV series, and Cash's reignited Christian faith combined to make him a calmer, more respectable person. He was turning into that classical mythological figure, the hero who, through his own weakness, is dragged to the depths but who is rescued and comes back wiser and more powerful, bearing a message for the world. Even though he was only in his early 40s, Cash had the rugged features and the gravitas of a much older man, and his slow, swaggering walk had the imprint of a gunslinger arriving to sort out the troublemakers. His past brushes with the law and his battle with addiction only added to his authority. They gave him a slightly dangerous edge. He now found himself invited into the most prestigious circles in American society. President Nixon asked him to perform at the White House in front of an audience of 250 congressmen and other dignitaries. An aide asked him to include "Welfare Cadillac" in his set, not realizing that it wasn't a Cash song. When he introduced Cash, Nixon said, "I don't know how to describe Johnny Cash's music. I'm no expert on music. I found that out when I told him to sing "Welfare Cadillac." He owns a Cadillac, but I understand that Johnny isn't on welfare." Cash played for an hour at the White House. At the end of his show, he made some personal comments about the war in Vietnam. He didn't believe in war, he said, but he didn't think that anyone was going to get America out of Vietnam quicker than President Nixon. "We elected our man as president, and if you don't stand behind him, get out of the way so that I can stand behind him. We pray that he can end this war in Vietnam sooner than he hopes, and all our boys will come back home, and there will be peace in the mountains and all the valleys." Then, joined by the Carter family and the Statler brothers, he sang "Peace in the Valley." After a standing ovation, he came back and performed "Coming Home." According to reporters in attendance, he reduced some in the audience to tears.